Going Linux, episode 136, Everyday Tasks That Can Be Done with Linux. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom. Whether you're new to Linux, moving from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about upgrading to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in Going Linux.
And in today's episode, we have a user experience episode that is inspired by and actually provided by one of our listeners. We hope that you'll find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done. So, Tom, in this episode, we have some listener contributions here, in this case from Danny.
Right, and Danny, once again, is a regular listener, contributor, and he's sight impaired, so he's coming at this from a little bit of a different angle, using Linux when you can't see the screen or can't see it very well. And I'm sure that'll be helpful to a lot of people.
Yeah, and Danny's topic is everyday tasks that can be done with Linux. And so he's really discussing things that would be of interest to both blind and sighted users, but he has some specific things that would be of particular interest to blind users right. as well. So we hope you enjoy, and thank you again, Danny, for providing us this episode.
Hello, my name is Danny Crone. My email address is everyday.linux.use@gmail.com. Again, everyday.linux.use@gmail.com. This is a podcast about Linux, and what I would like to do is to focus on the everyday tasks that can be done with Linux. First of all, I will describe what Linux is. Linux is a very flexible operating system for computers, and Linux is so flexible that it can be the graphical user interface, or GUI, that people are familiar with, or it can be a command line type of system where commands are typed into the computer. The advantage of one is that it is very familiar to many people who are coming over from Mac or Windows. The advantage to command line is that if one knows the command to execute, it can be done very quickly and efficiently. And the good thing is that Linux is both rolled into one, to make a long story short. And Linux is kind of like a swimming pool. In a swimming pool, you can go in the shallow end and wade around if you care to, or you can go out in the deep and swim just like that. You know, enjoy the deep water. And Linux, with a lot of modern distributions of Linux nowadays, you can get a type of Linux that can just be for your everyday things like writing notes or checking email or whatever you like. Or you can go really deep into it and learn the command line stuff and get things done very quickly and even learn to program. I am no programmer at all, but I want to get into Linux more because one advantage of Linux, it's completely free. Now, it is true a person can buy a Linux disk from somewhere. But having said that, Linux is available from the internet for nothing. Also, when a person has Linux, he can go into what's called the source code and change it or do anything that one can do to make it better if a person wishes to do that. And now, I will just say a word about different operating systems. There is no good operating system or a bad operating system. Each one has certain advantages and disadvantages. I will compare these operating systems to the way that you might get a hamburger. I could go into McDonald's or Burger King and get a ready-made fast food burger. The advantage to that is I know what I'm getting, they're everywhere, and that's it. Very predictable. I could go to a fancy place and get a really good burger, cooked just the way I want it, but I got to pay a little bit more. Or, if I knew how to cook, which I don't do very well, I could buy the ingredients and make them at home. Well, this is not a perfect analogy, but Windows is good for people that want a system which you do have to pay for, but the thing is that so many people have Windows that if you get stuck, it's easy to get help. Macintosh is a very good system. Now, Macintosh, the thing of it is the Apple people put out the hardware and the software so that they work very well together and there are very few problems. The thing of it is, though, you pay more for that. With Linux is a system that I would have to download and install on a system unless I buy a box with Linux on it. But having said that, it's free. And there's a little bit of a learning curve, but for everything there is a trade-off. Now, some people may say, well, I've heard of Linux, but I've heard that's for very technical people. And it is true that it does help to know a lot about programming or command line things. It gives someone an edge. But having said that, it's not hard to delve into Linux and not know anything about it yet. And there are many resources on the net and some books from many different sources, including accessible books on tape from Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic and Bookshare. There are, textbooks from Bookshare, not books on tape. And for people that are interested in accessibility, for Windows, there are many different solutions. For Mac, there's VoiceOver. On the Windows side, on the command line side, there is a program called SpeakUp, which is a program that speaks everything on the screen. On the graphical user interface side, the GUI side, there is a program called Orca. Orca is a screen reading program for Linux. It comes in some distributions, but not all. The rest of this podcast will be done by me and by someone who goes by the name Storm Dragon. He will talk about his experiences with Linux. I'm just a beginner in many, many ways. I've worked with Linux a little off and on, but he is someone who's been working with Linux for a while. He'll tell you all about that. And what I may do in the future is record other talks with other people. And because I certainly welcome anything anyone has to say about this subject. And, the more the merrier. And I think that, somebody can shed some light where somebody else may have forgotten to say something about a particular subject. So here we go. Okay. Hello, Storm Dragon.
Hello.
Hey, this is Danny. And Storm Dragon, I was just telling the people who might listen to this podcast that you have been using Linux for a while. I gave a short introduction to what Linux is.
although it, you know, it might have been a little quick, but I just wanted to focus on using Linux for everyday tasks before I described anything about how to install or this or that. So right now I will get to my first question. You know, a lot of people use things to record. For example, on the Mac side, people might use Audio Hijack Pro, which is very accessible with VoiceOver. I'm not sure what people use on the Windows side at all. What can be used on the Linux side to record things?
There are several different options you can use. There's a built-in sound recorder that's pretty accessible. It's kind of like the Windows version, you know, doesn't have really many editing features, but it's a good recorder. You can record from the microphone or from the sound card. There's also Audacity, which is an editor. It has effects and everything. You can edit music or podcasts or whatever with Audacity, and it's in Windows too, and I think maybe even on the Mac, but I'm not sure. And there's also a command line utility called Sox that can do editing and mixing and all kinds of stuff.
Okay. How do you spell that? S-O-X?
Yeah, S-O-X.
Okay. And how accessible with Orca is Audacity?
Audacity is actually very accessible. Sometimes you have to click, use flat review and click on a button in the window or click on a checkbox or something. But once you do that, you can tab around and use your arrow keys and all that sort of stuff, and everything is read to you. The only thing that I have a little trouble with is selecting tracks.
Mm-hmm. But as far as, let's say you're talking to someone and you want to cut out this or that bit, is it easy to do that?
Oh, yes, it's very simple. You would find the first part and then press the left bracket to set the left cursor.
Mm-hmm.
And then go to the end of it and press the right bracket. And then just press the delete key, and it would delete that part.
Now, I've never worked with... I tried to work with Audacity on the Windows side and on the Mac, and I couldn't do it. And I guess maybe I just didn't know what I was doing. So, have you found it possible that some programs are accessible on the Linux end of it and not in Windows or on the Mac?
There is some programs that are accessible in Linux that aren't in Mac or Windows, like Pigeon, for example. Pigeon works great in Linux and does not work in Windows.
Now, by the way, for people who may not be aware of it, I'm not sure of all of it because I'm just a beginner, but flat review is a way of reviewing the screen. And the best way I can think of it is I used JAWS many years ago, and I think flat review, now Storm Dragon, help me out with this. Flat review is akin to a JAWS cursor or a Windowized cursor. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess that would be the closest thing to compare it to, kind of like a mouse movement around the screen, because you can perform left and right clicks with it.
Yeah. It's a way to review the screen is what it is.
Yes.
Now, when it comes to what people call nowadays productivity, I find that, of course, I don't have all the reading commands down in Orca yet, but to my surprise, OpenOffice, which is not workable in Windows or on the Mac to a large degree, is surprisingly workable in Linux.
Yes, OpenOffice, until I guess Oracle took over, was very good for accessibility in Linux. And even in Windows, if you get the accessibility bridge installed, it works great with NVDA. But in Linux, it just keeps improving. And now they're switching over to LibreOffice because all the people kind of abandoned OpenOffice after Oracle took over, which is a good thing. But it'll just keep improving as they make changes on both the Orca screen reader and in LibreOffice to make it more accessible.
And for people that want to know about that, LibreOffice is a free office program which gives people many of the features that people know of in Word. And not only does it include a writing program, but it includes a spreadsheet program. It includes a drawing program. Of course, that's similar to, I forget what the drawing program is similar to, but there's also a program that's a bit like it's a presentation program, and I think it's called Impress. You want to add anything to that?
I don't really use the Office Suite much myself. I like the plain text editors better.
I do too. I just don't. I don't have much of a need. Although I will say that I know that the Office program could format and spell check and all this rigmarole, but in my mind, content is more important than appearance.
Well, the thing is, the text editor in Linux can spell check and format. It's not like in Windows where Notepad is just basically a text editor with no features at all. In Gedit, you have many, if not all of the features of a word processor.
It sounds like Gedit is more akin to WordPad in a way.
WordPad doesn't hold anything to this one.
Wow.
Yeah, it's got lots of really fancy stuff.
Now, if you have to fax something, is it possible to fax with, of course, you'd have to have a fax modem, but is it possible to fax with Linux?
You know, I've never had to do that. I don't know.
Because, in this day and time of email, the times that I need to fax are very rare, and when I do, I usually go down to an office and do it. Now, the big question is, a lot of us have mail that we need to read. Of course, Windows, one can use Abbey Fine Reader if you can get it to work, which I've never been able to get to work. Open Book, for them to have a lot of money, which I don't. On the Mac side, scanning programs are almost non-existent. What about in the Linux world?
Don Meringue, I think that's how you pronounce his name, has actually written a package that does OCR. As long as you have a scanner, you can scan stuff in and it will read to you. I'm still working on getting the scanner because I want to try that out myself, but I don't really know that much about it, but he could probably give you a lot more information.
Is that on the Orca list or the Vinix list?
He's on the Vinix list.
And by the way, just for your information, everyone, Vinix is a distribution of Linux which is geared for people that need either magnification or need Braille or need speech. And the reason that Vinix was put together is because a lot of distributions, although they may have Orca, they may not start by default. Anything else you want to add?
Most, if not all, of the Linux distributions are accessible, but they require a lot of setup. And Vinix, which was started by Tony Sales, is configured to work out of the box from, you know, startup to shutdown. It should talk or provide magnification or whatever you need.
Okay. The URL is www.vinix.org.uk.
That's the old one. It's actually going to change pretty soon. And the new one is www.vinixproject.org.
Okay. Well, that's all good to know. And if anyone, Google is a great way to find that as well. The times that I've forgotten the URL, I found it very successfully with Google. Now, of course, another thing to do with a computer is to talk to people over Skype. Now, with Linux, does one use a Skype client as such, or does one use a secondary program?
Well, you have to install Skype, and then there's a plugin for the Instant Messenger Pigeon. You install the plugin, and it does all the functionality of Skype. Your Skype contacts show up in your buddy list. You can call them and all that sort of stuff. But the Skype client itself is not accessible yet, although it's written in QT language, and there's work being done to support that.
And
Skype will work.
QT, is that a programming language?
Yes.
Okay. And what about money management? On the Windows side, you got Quicken, and I think there's something on the Mac side, but I don't remember what it is. Have you ever bothered to use Linux for money management or budgeting?
I haven't really. I know there's something out there. I can't remember the name of it right now, and it seemed like it was accessible because I looked at it once, but that's been probably 3 years ago whenever I first got into it and was checking out everything I could find, you know?
I still use Braille, if you can believe it, for money stuff because I don't have that much to, write down, so... And so I just do that. Yeah, people, sometimes low-tech is not bad. Sometimes it's better if you can do something in a low-tech manner. There's no reason why not. If you're happy with that, then do it. Now, let's say some people, they may feel a little shaky about installing Linux themselves. And I know there are many companies that can sell a computer right out of, with Linux on it, if people are inclined to go that way. There's System 76, and it's rumored Dell might have one. But one that is of interest to me is one called Frostbite Systems, and that's Frostbite Systems. And I'm gonna let you go ahead and continue and tell them a little bit about Frostbite Systems.
Well, I got my computer before I knew about Frostbite Systems. Otherwise, I would have purchased from them. I think you can get any distribution of Linux you want installed on a computer that you purchase from Frostbite. The customer support and the staff is really friendly and knowledgeable.
And what might be an advantage of buying from Frostbite, which other vendors may not have? My understanding that what they do is they somehow optimize the system to where if you do need Orca or something like it, you could use it more easily than not.
Yes, they do all the accessibility setup for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have any distro you want installed on it, and it will be ready for accessibility, kind of like Linux, but you're not just limited to the one operating system. You could go with maybe Fedora or... Arch Linux or Slackware or anything you want.
And one thing to note is that what they do at Frostbite is they give a little money, whatever distribution of Linux that you want, a little bit of money is used to give back to that project.
Yes, and that's a great way to support your favorite distribution or just Linux in general.
Now, if somebody could argue, well, gosh, I can go get a used computer from wherever, what might the advantage be in buying it ready-made as opposed to getting an old computer somewhere?
Well, if you get an old computer, you're going to be stuck with old hardware, and sometimes you hear negative things about Linux because people want to go out and get these old computers and install it, and they wonder how come it's kind of slow or... this or that doesn't work, or it's jumpy or whatever. And the thing is, if you want a good computer and a good, fast operating system, then you need to get kind of what's new and not expect a modern operating system to run on old hardware. Like, for example, you could not put Windows 7 on a computer from 1995 or 98.
And so that way... A person is ensured that that everything is compatible and that it works relatively painlessly.
Yes. But now, one thing that I would like to point out is if you do have a computer from 1995 or 1998 or whatever, Linux will run on it. You're not stuck like you would be with, say, Windows Vista or 7.
I've actually had the experience that one time I had an old computer that ran Windows 95 that just was so bogged down with stuff that what I did was I got another machine and which had 98 on it, because I was having trouble with that sound card. With I was having various troubles with that old 95 machine. And so what I did was, when I was sure that I had everything over that I wanted, because I took that old hard drive to a shop and they were able to put everything on the new one, what happened was I put Linux on, if you can believe it, I put Linux on there. And I didn't have enough to run the GUI stuff. And besides, I don't think Orca may have been around. No, Orca wasn't around at that time anyway. I think there was something which was a kind of a precursor to it, but I don't think it worked very well.
It would have been LSR or maybe Copernicus?
Copernicus, that's it. Yes, Copernicus. I think the LSR is dead in the water. Or maybe they merged into one project, I don't know. But anyway, it worked. I used those old command line tools, and I got a little bit of use out of that machine for about 4 more years. So yes, it can be done. The question is, do you want to make a little more use of something which otherwise would have been unusable, or do you want to spring for a machine that you know will be compatible with all new things? Anyway, I thank you very much for this time that you've shared, and is there anything you want to conclude this talk with?
If you're interested in Linux or Vinix specifically, join the Vinix email list. The people there are really knowledgeable and friendly and will definitely help you get rolling with Linux. You can install it inside of Windows if you're kind of worried about doing partitioning or anything like that. Or you can install it beside of Windows, so you can have both Windows and Vinix or whatever distro you want on the same computer. Like, I have a netbook that has Arch Linux and Windows XP installed on it, side by side. And there's even one thing that lets you install Linux like a Windows program.
And what would that thing be?
It's called WUBI.
Okay, I thought that was something exclusively to Vinix. I mean, I'm sorry, to Ubuntu.
I think that you can modify it. Ubuntu is the easiest one to do, but I believe you can modify it to do any distribution, I think.
That is interesting. And do you offhand know the URL for people that want to... I guess if they go onto that Vinix site, they can then go and find the blog or the forums or whatever you call them.
Yes.
Okay. Well, this concludes this podcast.
My email address is everyday.linux.use@gmail.com. Again, everyday.linux.use@gmail.com.
Great stuff, Danny. Thank you so much.
Yes, thanks again. And our next episode will be a surprise. Until then, you can go to the articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information, detailed instructions, and screencasts and illustrations and many more things.
Right. Email us with comments, questions, and suggestions, please. And remember, if you have a topic you want us to cover on the show, please use the Podcast Alley button to leave your topic suggestion while you vote for us on their site.
Or just send us the topic suggestion as content for
sure.
Recorded by you so that we can play it on the show.
Right.
You can send that audio comment by email if you wish. You would send it to our email address, which is goinglinux@gmail.com. You can also record a voicemail at 1-904-468-7889. That's 1-904-4-OUR-TUX.
You can follow show updates on Twitter and Identica. Our handle is Going Linux. You can download the episodes from the website, or you can use the HTML5 or Flash player to play them right in the show notes page.
You can also get future episodes delivered directly to your computer automatically as soon as new episodes are available. For instructions on how to subscribe to a podcast, go to subscribe.goinglinux.com. And until next time, thanks for listening.
Talk to you later.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.